WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The federal government appears headed for a shutdown, and that would hit low-income people in Wisconsin the hardest. Mike Moen reports.
Public policy analysts say safety net aids, such as the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC, would feel the budget squeeze sooner rather than later. Brett White leads the Southwestern Wisconsin Community Action Program, which helps clients access WIC benefits.
We are the transportation program for this neck of the woods and take people to dialysis treatments. I mean, we're big on that.
He says they've been preparing to try and keep services running, but notes some programs would eventually have to pause in a prolonged shutdown. The group Opportunity Wisconsin has called out certain GOP members of the state's congressional delegation for not opposing the plan. I'm Mike Moen.
A judge in Madison will hear arguments this morning over the former Supreme Court justices who are consulting with the Speaker of the Assembly. The liberal group American Oversight is suing Republican Robin Voss. It says the secret panel is violating Wisconsin's open meetings laws. The panel is advising the Speaker on his options when it comes to possibly impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The owner of a troubled Wisconsin grain mill will pay more than $10 million for an explosion that happened in 2017. Nate Wegehout has more.
The explosion at the Cambria corn mill killed five workers. Didion Milling Management pled guilty to nine criminal counts. The company will pay over $10 million to the families of the deceased workers and $1 million in fines. The company will also be placed on organizational probation, and OSHA will be able to inspect the mill at any time without notice or delay. Several higher-ups with the company are also being charged with concealing environmental and safety violations. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's deer hunting seasons are underway, and wildlife officials are urging hunters to help curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Erin Larson is with the Department of Natural Resources. She says the fatal brain wasting disease has been found in 62 of Wisconsin's 72 counties.
In recent years, we have unfortunately seen the disease introduced in some new isolated areas of the state, particularly in isolated parts of northern Wisconsin.
The DNR is asking hunters not to bait deer and to dispose of carcass waste in landfills. Republicans on a state Senate committee are voting not to confirm four of Governor Evers' appointees to the Natural Resources Board. The move could delay a board vote on the agency's contentious wolf management plan. The plan does not include a hard population cap for wolves, something farmers and hunters are calling for. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
One person is dead after a three-vehicle crash. The Outagamie County Sheriff's Department says the crash happened in the town of Freedom early Thursday morning around 5:45 at the intersection of County Trunk Highways EE and S. Authorities say the driver of a car failed to yield and was killed when his car was struck by a semi, causing both vehicles to crash into a third car. The driver of the semi was uninjured. The driver of the third car had minor injuries. A sixth grader from Ashwaubenon received one of the highest honors for a Girl Scout, and it was for saving her mother's life. Back in August, Ashley McGee's mother, Danielle, was having stroke symptoms. Ashley called 911 and managed to keep her cool while also keeping her mother and sister calm. On Tuesday, September 26th, at a ceremony at Ashwaubenon Village Hall, 11-year-old Ashley McGee was given the Girl Scouts Medal of Honor.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Packers get dominated by the Lions. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Detroit Lions embarrassed the young Packers in prime time last night, the final 34-20. The Lions were up 27-3 at the half. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I told them, I had challenged them at halftime to just continue to go out there and compete. Thought we did that. We had an opportunity. It was down 10, and we had a bad penalty to make it a three-possession game. And there's a lot of improvement out there for us.
The Packers offense unable to get a first down until late in the second quarter. Jordan Love.
I think something we just got to work on throughout the week of practice. I think just offensively as a whole, we just got to start faster.
Green Bay only able to rush for 27 yards total, even with Aaron Jones back after missing the last two games with a hamstring strain. The Lions and former Bears running back David Montgomery rushed for 121 yards, scoring 3 touchdowns.
I told myself it's either you score or you never get it again. But it's definitely big to understand and know that, you know, Coach Campbell and Ben trust me in that, you know, high-pressure moment. Super, super dope to see it work out and, you know, many more to come.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
I didn't realize this, but that was David Montgomery's first time to get a win against the Packers, so that's pretty impressive. And then 3 touchdowns, first time that we've had a Lions running back that's gotten that here at Lambeau, so that's pretty impressive.
Packers defensive back Rasul Douglas on how the Lions were able to score points in all 4 quarters of the game.
I don't know. We just got to just come out. I just feel like it was just my fault, you know what I mean? Like it was all on me. I ain't come out. I ain't make no plays. I ain't spark the defense. I wasn't energized like I usually am. I wasn't. So it's really on me why the defense played bad.
So the Packers have the weekend off. Then they come back next week to play the Raiders in Las Vegas a week from Monday night. Baseball, the Brewers with a 3-0 win over the St. Louis Cardinals at AmFam Field. The Brewers getting their first look at center fielder Garrett Mitchell since injuring his shoulder in April. With sports,
where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, Earl, it's a sunny Friday. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Man, the sun hasn't been around for almost a week, right?
Yeah, it has been a dreary week, but the skies are blue today.
Yeah, man, it really, the skies are blue for some of us. If you're a Packer fan, skies are still cloudy and gray. Hey, it's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. It was a gloomy night.
In more ways than one,
gloomy.
Huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, it's been extended for me. I'm phoning in. Sorry about that. But the Packers. What the heck? They had trouble getting off the dime, and last night was kind of abysmal.
Well, you know, Sandy, I hate to say I told you so, but you know, I told Gilbert, I said, Detroit Lions are a physical football team. They clearly are a physical team. They're for real, Sandy.
Yeah, and I was surprised. We started out the game passing. I didn't understand that. There was no effort to run the ball for quite a while. You know, we get that interception, and it was immediately passing. You know.
Well, they ran for 23 yards. I mean, the whole game. Detroit is clearly a physical team, Sandy. It's safe to say they're a better team right now than the Packers are. And, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it, but they are. They've kind of beaten the Packers, dominated the Packers over the last several years.
Yeah, we could jump quickly to the Bucs. That's all quite the development. You probably
man. It is an unbelievable trade that the Bucs made.
The rest of the league is kind of teed off. I think that the Bucs were able to get him, and they thought they got him cheaply. I mean, I don't know. Jrue Holiday is a great player. It was ironic because just that morning, Jrue Holiday had said he wanted to retire as a Buck. You know, he wanted an extension and retire as a Buck. And he got rewarded for saying that by getting traded. But it's a business, you know, and it's sort of like you keep forgetting that the basketball league, it's like pickup basketball, except the pickup part happens annually. The teams get picked up annually.
You know, Sandy, and the fact that there are guys making you know, $100 million, $200 million, you know, $300 million. It's an amazing reality that these guys are making that much money. And the fact that, you know, business must be good, Sandy, or they couldn't be paying people that kind of money.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm sure Dre Holliday's has a level of unhappiness about getting traded, but it's hard to be unhappy when you're pulling down 30 plus million a year.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's not the first time he's been traded, you know, and, you know, he didn't want to leave, but, you know, Sandy, that's the business. I think he was one of the best people in sports. Clearly he and his wife, philanthropic, and, you know, and I believe he would have made Milwaukee his home, but he can still do that, you know, if that's the case. Yeah. But let's get down to some business, Sandy. Senator Dianne Feinstein passed this morning.
Oh, she did! Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. 90. I missed that news.
Yeah. Well, it's just hot off the.
Yeah. I just thought this minute. Yeah.
Yeah. She was first elected to the Senate in 1992, and Sandy had just a long run. It's not surprising. She's been sick for a long time.
Well, so that means she was elected when she was like 59 years old for the first time. So
yeah. Well, you know, the other part of it, Sandy, is what happens from here. Clearly, they've got to put somebody. Gavin Newsom will appoint someone.
Right.
He can appoint whomever he wants to. Is that how that works?
Yeah, and the question I have in my mind is whether he can appoint himself.
Well, he can't hold two seats at the same time, can he?
No. He'd have to stop being governor to become senator. But
do you foresee that?
No, I'm just kind of speculating. But right. He certainly wants to be a national figure and should be a national figure. Probably he's a very attractive and apparently effective governor. There are people who naysay everything about California, but Newsom seems to be a pretty well-grounded guy.
No question, Sandy. And will at some point in time be the president of the United States, barring any unforeseen realities. He's eventually going to be the president of the United States at some point in time. Safe to say that?
Well, he's going to run for it. I would guess that he would be the most likely promising candidate of all the Democrats sitting on the sidelines right now. But, you know, that's always a surprising process. And the rest of the country does seem to have it in for California for some reason. But even though it's 15% of our GDP and sort of the leader in the technology world that is taking us to into the 21st century. But.
Well, let's do this, Sandy. Let's bring Gary from Sussex aboard. He's early. Good morning to you, Gary. What's going on? You say what?
Hey, guys. Well, you know, Gavin Newsom and Hannity are very good friends, and he's on Hannity's show quite a few times.
You're not gonna predict that he's gonna offer that seat to Sean Hannity.
No.
Okay.
obviously, no. But Sean Hannity asks him all the time, are you going to run for president? And he says, well, you know, Biden's our president. You know, are you going to run? Are you going to run? And he says, no, absolutely not. So he's keeping his mouth shut. I believe that he's lying through his swab.
He's not going to run against Joe Biden.
No, I believe that he will be the Democratic nominee because Joe Biden, 70% of the people in the United States says that he's too old to run. All right, 70. And it's, what is it, something like 50% of Democrats believe that he's also too old to run. So I believe that that Newsom will be the nominee for 2024. Okay?
Well, Sandy, you want to respond to that?
Well, if wishes were hopes and hopes were wishes, I think Newsom would be a great candidate. You and I have talked about this before on the air. There's a part of me that hopes that Biden would be an unselfish and forward-looking person enough to decide that he might open it up and let someone else run based on his record and based on the record of his team. He's got a lot of capable people. There's other people also angling for the limelight. I mean, one can't help but appreciate the competence of, like, Pete Buttigieg, and there's others as well out there. But is it going to happen? It doesn't look like Biden has the inclination to step aside. And if he doesn't step aside, I saw Newsom. Newsom's being the loyal Democrat.
Right.
Talking about what an awesome job Biden has done. He's setting the stage as someone who could run on Biden's record. And that my hope is that's what the Democrats decide to do. But I don't see it happening.
No, neither do I. Gary?
On another subject, Drew Holiday. If it wasn't for Drew Holiday, we would not be world champions, when we won the championship. Stole the ball a couple times, I think once for sure in Phoenix, and we ended up winning that one. So I'm going to miss Drew Holiday. He was one of my favorites.
Hey, Gary, all of us are going to miss the person, Drew Holiday, and the player, Drew Holiday. But they arguably got one of the top four or five athletes and scorers in the NBA. So
we're now ranked as far as or the prediction to be the top team to win the championship.
Right, that's the guy they have. So if you got to replace Drew Holiday, you it's not like you went backwards. Thank you very much for the call. Yes, Andy. I can't wait, man. I'm like a child on Christmas morning with a brand new toy, man.
I got those. You got those tickets. You and I will be at plenty of games this year. I think what's exciting about it is I think Drew Holiday was very good on defense. I think he had a tendency to, for some reason, take bad shots periodically, and it's interesting. You realize that the general manager, a guy like Horst, has to have ice water in his veins and just has to make the right pick. It's a little bit like I said, playground basketball. You're standing there picking teams, and your best friend is available, but there's someone else better. But there's someone else better than him that you need to pick to win the game, right? So
yeah.
What do you do?
Well, they made the right move, Sandy, and I'll say this before we go to break. They clearly couldn't score in the playoff games last year, and we saw it. I mean, if Giannis couldn't score, they couldn't score. So that's not going to be the issue this time around.
And part of Giannis taking the team onto his back might have been the fact that he didn't think there was someone else out there who could pour it in. And so now we're going to have Middleton.
Oh, man.
Hilliard. I mean, that is something else.
Hey, they still got Connaughton and others. So they've got a lot of places and people who can score. We got to go to break, Sandy. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We got a lot of things to talk about. You can join us. We'll be right back.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
We're talking with Tony Mandrich. You're talking about your alcohol problems. Jim kind of mentioned here during the break. He said, yeah, the coaches didn't do anything about it. And I said, didn't do anything about it. They were with the guys.
I mean, nobody forced anybody to drink. Drinking was just part of it. And it was kind of like that stereotype of, you know, being a guy or being an athlete, or it was just part of that.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun today, with highs around 73. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Lows level off around 58 tonight, partly cloudy skies. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow, highs level off around 80. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday, with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. Another look at the short range, we should top out at 73 today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. K.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, you don't know anything about Valari, do you?
I don't. I'm familiar with the song. I never did know what it meant.
Let's want to make a quick announcement. So Sandy and I are going to be... Sandy, do we dare call it play-by-play in color with the Waukesha Black Shirts football game this evening?
Who knows? We'll see. We'll see when we do it, right?
Yeah. So let me, Sandy, on a more serious note, without question, the shutdown is going to occur. And I watched a little bit yesterday evening, and maybe about an hour of it, the impeachment chaos. So we can't get, you know, this budget worked out, but the public theater goes on. They're going to shut down the government, and they put provisions in place, Sandy, that the impeachment inquiry continues to go on. What is going on?
I guess the show must go on. You know, that's what Washington is now, and that's what the Republicans are all about. And we still have this case that's all about third-party testimony. It's a very strange process, particularly since apparently whoever it is that is the ultimate whistleblower, the
they
person
can't
who's
find
be,
that
behind
person.
All this, yeah, that person isn't going to appear and testify. You know, and there's no allegation that someone has shanghaied them. It's just that they've suddenly gone on the lam. So it's very strange. And, you know, yesterday there's a piece of testimony provided or a piece of evidence provided that was actually doctored by someone, you know, sort of an AI enhanced or modified screenshot of a text message. And the version presented is much more incriminating than the actual actual copy. So who knows what we got going here? But it's clearly just it's the conspiracy theories that are predominant during the campaign process, and now we're apparently having to view them in some kind of a reality theater process.
Well, so let's bring Stephen on from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Stephen. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for bringing this topic up, because this is just absolutely ridiculous. I feel like that's, you know, just known information on the Republican Party at this point in time. But, you know, I find a couple things that are interesting with this whole thing. The first thing I find interesting is you have a ex-president in Donald Trump who has 90 felony indictments on him, and you can't get one person in a impeachment setting from the Republican side to raise their hand and say that if Joe Biden's son and or Donald Trump were found guilty by a court of law, would you support that? And not one person can raise their hand and say, oh, I guess if Donald Trump, you know, gets charged, then that's, you know. But they can't find one shred of evidence on Joe Biden with this whole thing. You have Republicans. Jonathan Turley was a big guy. He's on Fox News all the time. Couldn't get him. You know, even he said this is just a bunch of baloney. And then this whole shut down the government to get what you want thing, they're screaming about the border, 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 border. The border's horrible. Well, if you shut down the government, we're not going to, what are the Border Patrol agents going to do then? This is just ridiculous. And it's not even politics. It's a bunch of children who aren't even loyal to a party anymore. They're loyal to one person. And it's just absolutely disgusting.
Well, Stephen, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, we'll let you respond on the other side. We've got to go to a break. Thank you, Stephen. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts? Yeah, I kind of watched some of that yesterday, and it was so amazing to me that Jonathan Turley, the guy that they're holding up as the guy who's going to give us the directives and the directions to follow through on this, clearly stated over and over, there's no evidence. Well, if this happens, or if we find that out, and yet they're going through all of this, all of these shenanigans, and going to shut down the government. And we're going to talk a little bit on the other side about the average people who are going to be hurt by that. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. I mean, it's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Behind hey, you're behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. The deadline to avert a government shutdown tomorrow at midnight, and there's no deal in sight. ABC's Ann Flaherty on what's at stake.
There will be people who are furloughed, meaning that they are sent home. They are not allowed to touch their work devices. They are not allowed to make work phone calls. And then the other people, they're considered what the government calls accepted. That means they have to show up to work. Neither of these groups will get paid. They will qualify for back pay once the shutdown is over. But as union officials tell me, that doesn't help when you have child care bills or you have to fill your gas tank.
A last-ditch delay in former President Trump's New York civil fraud case rejected by a judge, so the trial will go on next week. On the witness list, Trump and three of his adult children, on claims his personal and business assets were inflated to score better business deals. California is set to give its fast food workers the highest minimum wage in the country, $20 an hour. It goes into effect April 1st. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Lower enrollment is the reason St. Norbert College let 29 staff members go on Wednesday. 12 more staff are expected to lose their positions at the end of the semester. St. Norbert College President Lori Joyner says demographics show fewer 18 to 22-year-olds. In 2019, the college had 1,950 students. This fall, they are down an even 200 to 1,750. Joyner says the cuts to staff will not impact the education St. Norbert students receive. The Pulaski school superintendent addressed the two bomb threat emails made against the high school within 5 days. Wednesday night at the Pulaski school board meeting, Superintendent Allison Space said they still weren't sure where the emails came from, but told parents to remind their kids to be vigilant and report suspicious activity. Law enforcement searched the building after both threats, but found nothing. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nacoosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nacoosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nacoosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nacoosa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to 4 times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nacoosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nacoosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Mike, of all the people that your wife knew in Two Rivers, did any of them have a Shetland pony?
Mike, you're a new listener. John, for some reason,
the only person in the history of Two Rivers that had a Shetland pony when he was a kid.
Star. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. I'd come home from school, ride him. He's a great horse. And his Shetland pony, we had him. We didn't. He was great.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Fridays. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, you want to respond to what Stephen had to say?
Well, you know, I think the striking thing is that the case against Biden, if there is a case, is the fact that his family was doing influence peddling. And I think there's little doubt that that was ongoing. It influenced peddling. The question is whether they actually were exerting any influence over Biden or whether he did anything. But when you look at influence peddling, you could look at the 4 years of the Trump administration and the influence peddling of Jared Kushner, billion-dollar transactions with the Chinese, huge transactions following the presidency with the Saudi Arabians, numbering in the billions of dollars. The whole hotel process, the ongoing the Trump hotel in Washington. I mean, unfortunately, influence peddling is rampant in Washington. But to the extent that that somebody has been guilty of it, the Trump family couldn't be more guilty of it. And the comparison between what the Bidens were doing and what the Trumps were doing is the difference between amateurs and professionals.
let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. If you couldn't misrepresent what Jonathan Turley Moore,
CJ, I saw this yesterday. Okay, on Onan, I watched it. I know what he said. Go ahead.
I watched 6 hours of it, Earl. Well, he said there's a ton of evidence for the inquiry. He said there's not evidence proven yet because there is no impeachment right now. It's not a vote on impeachment. It's a vote on getting information, which the White House and Biden family have hidden. And so $24.7 million is what evidence were put into yesterday. And Sandy, shame on you. Shame on you. Because what product is the Biden family selling? Different than the Trump family. Trump family is into real estate and they sell a product. They have a product. The Biden family, what are they selling? Right, influence. That's exactly what it is. And you guys misrepresent what Jonathan Turley said verbatim. So I watched 6 hours of it. And for you guys to misrepresent to your listeners all the time.
Okay, CJ. Sandy, I don't know where to begin with that.
Yeah, well, CJ has to get excited. But the fact is that what Jared Kushner raised from the Saudi Arabians wasn't for real estate necessarily. He got $2 billion for essentially a SPAC, meaning a special purpose acquisition corporation. He didn't have a purpose for that money when he raised it, and he still has it and hasn't invested it. So he got a huge investment from the Saudis, a pig in a poke. So I don't know quite how you accomplish that with the limited amount of experience that he would have to present. I guess CJ wants to argue about whether the Trumps were influence peddling, but there's no question about it.
You know, Sandy, the more you hear, this pushback about how crooked and criminal the Biden family enterprise is, to disavow what is being talked about right this moment about the threats of Donald Trump possibly losing his empire in New York kind of points to, a guy who clearly has done some things that aren't proper. But before we get into all that, Sandy, this shutdown that is imminent and Republicans are going to take a hit for this, Sandy. The smart Republicans, excuse me, know, and the wise Republicans know, that with the election coming up, to shut down the government, a year before the 2024 presidential election is akin to, doing away with Roe versus Wade right before the election. It's a monumental political mistake. Is it safe to say that, Sandy?
Well, I think so. I think Kevin McCarthy realizes it, but The Trump loyalists, if they're playing to the Trump loyalists, this is not going to lose votes amongst the Trump loyalists. This is what apparently Donald Trump is demanding they do this. I presume the Trump loyalists will stand behind it. So I think we have a problem, and we have a problem in the Republican Party, and Kevin McCarthy has the same problem, which is, just as Stephen from Green Bay said, well, there's a bunch of people here who are not even party players. They're playing part of a what is essentially the personality cult, and the personality is calling the shots.
You know, Sandy, I was looking at some of the people who are going to be hurt by the shutdown, and clearly people who, you know, are on the margin are going to be hurt through this. You know, the average person who struggles, who can't make it, who's, as you always talk about, living check to check, Sandy, they're going to be impacted and affected by this, because I don't think, Sandy, this is going to be, even if it, and when it happens, the last time, what was it, 30 some odd days? I mean, that's a long time, Sandy, for people who live paycheck to paycheck, and many of them may be impacted and affected, as you stated, it's going to impact the debt of this government, is going to force.
Well, I mean, Moody's has announced that they will view this as a negative with respect to the credit rating. And Moody's is the rating agency that has the U.S. government rated the highest. And so, you know, they're already saying this kind of chaos is not good for a credit rating. I don't think the injured people here are going to be the government employees. That they're going to experience chaos, but, you know, the Republicans take comfort and announce the fact that they've already passed legislation that means that the employees will get paid in retroactively.
Right.
So they'll go some time without cash flow, but they'll probably find a way to make ends meet because they know they're going to get a big check reflecting that past pay. But the main thing is the chaos for all the programs and vital programs.
Yes, social programs.
Pointed out. Social programs or protective programs like the border. And, you know, I suspect that they'll try to find ways to pass funding for what the Republicans view as programs that they can't stand the notion of being interrupted. But they won't be able to get all of them. And they're having trouble passing the ones they need to pass. So they've got, you know, controllers of various kinds of transportation. Prudettage yesterday was describing the various ways that transportation would be interrupted in manners that would be harmful to safety.
You know, Sandy, the worst part of all of this is you got a handful of people that have the ability to do this, Sandy. It's only a handful of them. How is it possible that a handful of people can shut down the government?
Well, it's the fact that they control the Republicans can, you know, have such a slim majority that and they control, and as long as the rest of the Republicans stay committed to their caucus, they've got a problem. You know, the House of Representatives can't pass anything, and if it can't pass anything, they can't pass the funding bills.
You know, Sandy, I remember a couple of weeks back, I asked you about whether or not we thought that this would actually come to fruition, shutting down the government. And I remember you saying that, you know, they play these games, but I don't think you thought that they would go through with it.
Well, I think.
What are they going to gain, Sandy? What are they going to gain by doing this?
Well, they think they're gaining a big lever for negotiations, and there will be negotiations, and something will come out of it, and the little rump group of five or six will claim that they got something out of it. It'll be pyrrhic, I'm sure, nominal, but they'll be able to try and claim that they accomplished something, or they'll simply point out is that they accomplished shutting down the government, which might be the end of itself that, that they're pursuing, but to demonstrate their capacity to shut down the government, much like there was on January 6th, the notion that they would demonstrate and try to shut down the process of government there. I mean, this is another form of government shutdown, right?
Yeah.
January 6th was a different version of it, but sort of the same.
You know, Sandy, do you see, I mean, where is the healing going to occur in this country? It just seems to be getting progressively worse, Sandy. You know, a handful of people, I was listening to, and if I deserve a beating, Sandy, I deserve a beating for listening to Congresswoman Boebert yesterday. You know, I mean,
well, you got in it. That was punishment in and of itself, wasn't it?
Yes. And she was, and to think, Sandy, that this woman is a congresswoman, right? And she carries sway. And listening to that nonsense, it just made me realize that something's broken in the system, Sandy. And I don't know how we fix it, right? I mean, I'm not saying that we haven't had lunatics in the Congress before, but
I think Congress always has lunatics in it, but Congress usually finds a way to marginalize its own lunatics. Instead of handing them power, they marginalize them. But in this case, the lunatics have are in this position, right? There's five or six people who have formed a essentially a cabal, and they understand that the majority in the Congress of the Republicans is only four deep. So all they need is five or six people to bolt, and the Republicans are imprisoned.
So let me.
And they
so
also
are we,
have power over the Speaker.
Well, and you just took the words out of my mouth. What does he do? I mean, you know, he wanted this position so badly, Sandy, that he knew the day of reckoning was going to come eventually, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he knew this was coming.
My suspicion is that in that cabal, Matt Gaetz is the guy who believes and hopes delusionally that he will succeed Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. Can you imagine? But he behaves as if he is someone who believes that he will be the next Speaker.
Well, you can't rule it out, right? I mean, today anything is possible, especially when we're talking about the Republican Party of today. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472, then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're
hey man, your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 73. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows level off around 58. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High of 80. Temperatures well above average Sunday and Monday with highs in the low 80s. Chance for scattered storms Sunday. Another look at the short range. We should top out at 73 this afternoon. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Okay.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Do what did it, did it, dumb, did it do.
Popping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Do what did it, did it, dumb, did it do.
She looked good. Fine. She looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing.
Do what did it, dum, did it, do.
Holding my hand just as natural as can be singing.
Do what did it, dum, did it, do.
All right.
We walked on
to my door. Walked on to my door. And Oh, wait. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams and Do I Diddy Diddy Dum Diddy Do.
I think we need to do some come out with a record. You and I could do a whole.
Anyway,
people would turn down their hearing. Sandy,
where was it at? I wanted to talk about what's happening with Donald Trump now, and the fact how is it possible, Sandy? When I went to the bank to finance my home, they sent out an appraiser, and all of us, there's an appraiser. Banks aren't going to lend you money until they guarantee that the value of the property that you're purchasing is just that. How can it be that Donald Trump could say that Mar-a-Lago is worth $660 million, and here now they're saying maybe $30 million? How could that even occur?
Well, you know, that's the deal with rich people with complicated assets. You know, they go in, they're taking out a loan on something that's probably a complex matter to appraise. There is a company here in Milwaukee, American Appraisal. Its whole business was to do appraisals on behalf of lenders and others of complicated real estate, complicated assets, to try and be able to determine what the value is. And careful banks might do that, but you know, Deutsche Bank and other banks were eager to make loans to the people they were making the loans to. And it's definitely the case that it is possible, and it has been possible, for wealthy people to fraudulently express the value of their assets. You know, it happens, and in Trump's case, it apparently did happen. You know, you overvalue the asset when you're trying to borrow money, and you undervalue the asset when you're being told to pay taxes on it. And he did both. He's been put under a microscope, and the scrutiny demonstrates the extent to which there was fraud. Bank fraud is a big problem, you know, and banks, when loans go bad, and a fraud was perpetrated by the borrower at the time that the loan was obtained, those people get in trouble.
But don't they have a responsibility to the people who basically have money invested in the banks and they stand to lose? I was listening to something the other day that said this is cut and dried. And, you know, some receiverships can step in almost immediately without, you know, this going to trial and kind of take control over all of his assets in New York. Is that possible?
Well, I don't know about a receiver being appointed to look over the assets, but I do know that banks, shareholders of banks, can get angry with the banks and bring derivative actions to the extent that banks are negligent in lending money out to people where the loans go bad. I don't know the extent to which the particular loans went bad in the context of the apparently fraudulent applications for the loans made by Trump. So, you know, if the loan didn't go bad, there was no damage to the bank, even though they were negligent in the process of making the loan. But the way loans do go bad, you know, if the loan wasn't getting repaid and they moved in to take possession of the asset that was the collateral for the loan, and if the asset had only a fraction of the value necessary to cover the loan, bingo, you know, the fraud has now caused direct damage to the bank and to its owners.
Let's bring Cindy on from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Cindy?
That's with as many times as he's declared bankruptcy.
Cindy? Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Cindy.
I said I was just wondering how it is that Trump's been able to hold on to all of these assets after he's declared bankruptcy, what, 5-6 times?
Sandy?
Trump did not go through personal bankruptcy 5 or 6 times. What happens with wealthy people who do lots of real estate development is they form separate corporate entities for each of their various investments. And those separate corporate entities, if they aren't guaranteed by the owner, Trump, personally guaranteed by the owner, Trump, then those entities can go bankrupt without the owner, Trump, going bankrupt himself. And I believe that a couple of his bankruptcies did involve personal guarantees in which he got bailed out by his father. And so he didn't have to go through personal bankruptcy. So Trump has not gone through personal bankruptcy, but shrewd people probably do not invest in Trump's special purpose entities that he sets up for his real estate investments, because 4 or 5 of those have gone bankrupt.
You know, Sandy, Trump has said on many occasions, all these things are crooked. You know how I know they're crooked? Because this is how I run my business. In other words, knowing how to take advantage of systems, as you stated, that are beneficial to the wealthy, may not be beneficial to the average person, but to the wealthy. And so he's kind of saying, this is how it's been, this is how it is, and I'm not doing anything that others aren't doing.
Well, the special purpose corporation thing is standard practice. And it's really the purpose that corporations were created, was to insulate the owners of the corporation from the obligations of the corporation. And lenders have to decide whether the corporation they're lending to is solvent enough so that they don't require personal guarantees from some wealthy backstop. That has everything to do with the value of the real estate underlying. So that fraud that is alleged about and has been proven about his fraudulent representations of value are some of the reasons why he was able to borrow without recourse against him.
So, Sandy, we've got to go to a break. So hold the thought. 844-967-2789. Friday means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first-ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM.